you know, we walk up to the border guard and the border crossing there, we're coming off the plane, and you're ready for the standard questions about, you hand your passport, stuff like that. And they basically asked me, he says, we have two questions. I said, okay, what's the name of the team and when are we going to win the Stanley Cup? I said, I don't know, and I'm going to start working on it.
That's Jets General Manager Kevin Cheveldayoff, our special guest here on Ground Control, the official podcast of the Winnipeg Jets. Tyler Esquivel, Jamie Thomas, the gang's all here, along with Daniel Moss behind the cameras. He'll do all the heavy lifting later. The play of the week and your comments coming up in the mailbag regarding the Jets' trade deadline acquisitions coming up, and we'll hear from Tyler about that as well. But first, as we always do to kick off the show, we got to find out, what is Tyler wearing? What exactly are you wearing today?
I'm wearing the CCM pullover hood, hoodie. This is, the color is pewter. Pewter. P-E-W-T-E-R, pewter. I really hope I spelled that right.
Does it come in other colors?
Yeah, there's like a darker beige one, if you catch my drift. It's kind of like that.
Beigey.
It's like Carhartt material. They just got some free ad, but I don't really care.
Okay. the check's coming later for you on that one.
Yeah, you know what I mean.
Direct deposit.
Yeah, but it's also nice, but the pewter is more my style.
Obviously, Jets Gear is where you...
Yep, Jets Gear. All Jets Gear locations. They have a few of them around the city. St. Patel, mm-hmm. Kildonan Place, and down here, downtown. And also, Polo Park. And, of course, if you can't get to the mall, TrueNorthShop.com. They got everything there.
You're getting really good at that now, so it's just like...
Well, you had to remind me, to be honest. I kind of forgot for a second.
It's how it's delivered. That's all that matters. Yeah. It doesn't matter if you forgot.
Yeah.
I'm sure the Jets would like to forget what happened on Saturday in Vancouver after a very impressive win over the Seattle Kraken. They lose 5-0, and there was kind of an air of confidence, I would say, in the dressing room yesterday, and certainly from head coach Rick Bowness, that the team was going to bounce back. And Did they ever? It was an impressive 3-0 win over Washington, and a lot of people will say, okay, well, Washington isn't in the playoffs, but Washington was one of the highest-scoring teams in the NHL since January 27th. They were scoring 3.67 goals per game, so just under four. And they had won 7 of their last 10. So they were rolling, and they're trying to get their way back into the playoff situation in the Eastern Conference. So you should never downplay a win. But what we should upgrade on is just how well the Jets played after what happened in Vancouver.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, a game that the Jets didn't like out in Vancouver. Don't need to go on about it too much. But, you know, you look at the game on Monday night here at Canada Life Center. The Winnipeg Jets, high danger chances, 4-17 against only 5 goals, expected goals. Over 3 for Winnipeg and 1.75, I think it was, for Washington. And Spencer Carberry had some very, I kind of take when coaches compliment the other team, you know, you take it for what it is. But I also kind of read into it, like, he just didn't really like what his team was doing either. And, you know, from the bird's eye view of the press box, it looked like the Winnipeg Jets had just a ton more room out there than the Washington Capitals were giving them. So Winnipeg rebounds with a great 3-0 win over Washington, and they just shut the Capitals down for the whole night. It just didn't seem like they ever had a lot. I mean, Washington was good right off the hop.
Yeah, first off, we're gonna get into that in a second. And you just mentioned Spencer Carberry. His quote was just right from the start. It just felt like to me when I was standing there watching. Not was just bigger, faster, stronger. Every facet they just were. So you got to tip your cap, which we hear Bones say quite a bit to the other team. When the Jets play a bad game, that's a really good team that just got better with Toffoli and Monahan and those guys. It just felt like they were bigger, stronger on pucks, and they were just way quicker than us everywhere. So, end quote, of course, on that situation. So, like you said, whenever an opposing coach, they are criticizing their team, but they are giving credit to the Jets, and I think that says a lot. And
what did you think of Ovi last night?
Pretty quiet.
Yeah.
But there, you still see, like, he's starting to score again. So I was always worried, of course.
He had a couple.
Yeah, good looks.
And I think we say good looks because they're Alexander Ovechkin. Mm-hmm. I think if any other player in the league gets those looks, I don't necessarily know if you go, he got his chances.
He can score from anywhere. That's
But, you know, hold on. I'm going to go off script here. Let's talk about Ovi for a second. It's a pretty special career that he's in the middle of, and they were talking about this on the radio as I was driving in yesterday, just how many more times we're going to be able to see Alexander Ovechkin. Just over your time covering this league, what is watching him and players like him in that sphere mean to you?
it's special because now I'm dating myself, but even watching Gretzky growing up was something else. Now I feel like my dad sometimes, like, you don't even understand how good this guy was. So now you're going to be able to say down the road to how good Sidney Crosby was. How good Alexander Ovechkin was. And the fact that, and we just touched on it, the fact that you're kind of hesitant whenever he shoots the puck because you're like, I don't know, this could go in, because he just scores from everywhere. And when the Capitals go in the power play, you're just terrified of the one-timer that they've seen him set up a million times. The Jets took that away yesterday.
Yeah.
And they took away his, we hear this a lot, time and space.
Yep.
But Alexander Ovechkin did not have a whole lot of time and space yesterday.
No, he didn't. And he doesn't look as bulldogish.
Yeah.
As he has in years past. But the one player that did stick out to me on that team was Miroshenko.
Yeah.
Really good, young.
Plays on the line with Ovechkin. He's like
gritty, too. Like, he was everywhere. Like, he was not afraid to throw, like, limbs everywhere. And it seemed like he was kind of Ovi Jr. And, I mean, for a Russian kid, that's obviously got to be pretty cool.
I saw the video on the Caps Twitter page when he scored his first NHL goal, and who was there to give him a hug on the bench? It's Ovechkin, so it's special. It must be to play with him.
You're right. You are dating yourself, calling it a Twitter page.
That's true. Yeah, we're not going to get out. I'm not going to try and correct myself on that one. I did ask Adam Lowry last night about how confident he was the Jets were going to bounce back, and here's that comment right now.
Yeah, extremely confident, I think. We talked about the game. We watched some clips, and so areas where we could clean up, and I think we got off to a better start. We really got behind the eight ball against Vancouver, and tonight I think our first 10 minutes were great. We we had some chances. We got the lead, which is kind of new for us. We haven't been scoring a whole lot in the first period. So I think as the game went on, we just kept chipping away and kind of imposing our style, as opposed to trying to play theirs. And I think, when we do that, good things happen.
We defended a lot better. We spent less time in our zone. We spent a lot of time in their zone. We still like to create a little more offense, but the big thing was that we defended much better. We stayed above them. We slowed them down a little bit when we could. We didn't let them dictate the pace of the game like we did in Vancouver.
Jets are 27-3-1 and have the best win percentage in the league when they score first. So you heard Adam refer to the fact they haven't scored first a whole lot, but now you know how important that is, especially this time of year. They get that first goal in the first period, and it feels like everything built off of that. Before that first goal, you and I were sitting beside each other in the press box, and the first shift of the game. So you've got Tyler Toffoli, you've got Colin Miller. Everybody's excited.
Yeah, that was awesome.
New lines, great. They start on the ice, and that first shift, it was like
a little nervous.
He felt a lot of people on nervous, but who wasn't nervous? Connor Hellebuck, and made a big save on right away off the top of the game, and that is just not a surprise.
Yeah, I mean, we touched on it earlier. He wasn't the busiest goaltender in the game, that's for sure. But he made everything look easy, and that's what Connor Hellebuck does when he's on his game. I can't tell you what his record is coming off a loss, but I know it's good.
Yeah.
So you could tell, too, that I think he took the 5-0 loss in Vancouver personally. And, routinely, when the team doesn't have it going, which happens, Rick Bowness will come off the ice and allude to the fact that we had nobody going except Connor Hellebuck is really good.
Yeah, yeah.
He didn't say that in Vancouver. And
first time this year, really.
Yeah. And so, clearly Connor probably would agree. Like, he didn't like what he gave up. I'm sure all five aren't his fault, but I'm sure one or two he wasn't a fan of. So, he goes out and proves himself that he's probably the leading Vezina candidate in the league this year, you'd have to think. So I think you have to love what you saw from Connor Hellebuck. And I've said this time and time again on this podcast. It is time for the best players to be the best players. And he did that last night, and hopefully he can keep riding that this week.
Fourth shutout of the year. He has 30 wins, one of three American-born goaltenders to record five 30-win campaigns.
Fantastic.
So if you don't believe what Tyler and I have to say, well, we have some people to back up just how good Connor Hellebuck was last night and is overall.
You talk about a timely save, that's it, right there. It was. All of a sudden, we won the faceoff. So it kind of a broken play, but we talk a lot about timely goals and timely saves. That's right up there with the timely save.
Right. I mean, he's dialed in every day, and I think he makes saves when we need him, and he steps up in a big way. So, he's a huge part of this team.
I love whenever we're going into trade deadline, how the narrative usually around this hockey club is that Kevin Cheveldayoff doesn't do a whole lot at the trade deadline.
So just, like, literally not true.
It's so disappointing to hear, and I understand that not everybody's really aware of what goes on all the time around here because of it's a small market and thus, but just to hear that narrative, it's kind of tiring. However, a lot of people gave Kevin Cheveldayoff, the Jets management organization, some good marks about what they did on Friday. You were in Seattle. It's always interesting to be around the team when deals are going on. You're always trying to wonder, what is everybody feeling? What is everybody thinking? Because you're probably looking around and going, is that guy gone? Is he on the move if we're going to try and improve this team?
I know. Like you said, being around the team, it's awkward. I mean, that morning I get into the elevator with a player that I'm like, maybe I don't ride down the elevator with you. Maybe I don't know what's going to happen. It's kind of weird. It's kind of, everybody's on eggshells, and I mean, certain guys
know.
They know they're not going anywhere. That's
fine.
But
it's still hard to think of a teammate going.
Yeah, I didn't even like
your friend.
The on ice part is separate, I think, too. Like, you know, you have a life here, whether like fans love you or not. Like, that's you have a family, probably. You've got stuff going on here, and for all that to be gone and one phone call, it can be tough. So it's a bit of a weird day.
So they add Tyler Toffoli.
Yep.
And this is not funny, but ironic. Separate deals. They go back to the Devils and they bring Colin Miller.
Yeah.
A right-handed shot on the blue line, which the Jets have had a lack of over the years.
Yep. To be honest, every team.
Yeah. Right-handed shot defensemen are rare. Good ones.
If you have a child that's right-handed and you intend on putting them in hockey, or they want to play hockey,
play defense.
Put them on defense.
Yeah.
They will go
Forget the goaltending part of it.
Yeah.
It's way too expensive. No offense to the people out there that want to be a goaltender, but it's just like, right shot defensemen are valuable. So Tyler Toffoli, Colin Miller come to the team. They literally don't join up with the team in Seattle and Vancouver, of course, but they come here Monday, a morning skate, that's it. They're in the lineup.
Yeah.
You're wondering, is Colin Miller going to play? It's hard to get as a defenseman to get used to your new teammates. But Colin Miller's been around a while, as has Tyler Toffoli. So the excitement that goes along with this trade, and it's everywhere, being around the team as you were this past weekend, I wonder about what it was like around the team. Let's just talk about Seattle, because Vancouver, another story.
Yeah, I think it was just there was optimism.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to call it cautious optimism because, you know, on one hand, it was very exciting because the Winnipeg Jets added two bodies, two veteran guys, one of which has won a cup before. You know, Tyler Toffoli came here, tied for the team leading goals of 26. So you know this guy can put the puck in the back of the net. And then you talk about Miller, veteran defenseman, right shot. You know he's going to be a plug and play somewhere. You don't know if there's going to be some
shot.
Sort of rotation here. So he's kind of the unknown. But, I mean, if Jets fans remember, he played for Vegas back in 2017-18.
Yeah.
And
was a big part of that team.
He was a big part of that team. Yeah. So you know what's there with that player. Even though that was a handful of years ago, he's still a good player. Mm-hmm. So there was excitement around that. But then there was also this element of, okay, that's something that we can't worry about today because they aren't coming to help us. There's no saving us right now. And I think the game in Seattle, the game in Seattle was, you know, let's take care of business and get the heck out of here. And the Winnipeg Jets did just that. I got to say, that was I don't even know what it would have been like to stay up late here in Central Time Zone because it was not the most of entertaining games.
Yeah, no, the first two periods were hard.
Yeah, the third was good. But
it was a reminder, though, of what the game is like in the playoffs. That's what it's tight-checking and there's not a lot of room.
Exactly.
Obviously, a little more intensity in the playoffs.
For
but
sure.
But those first two periods, I think, in Seattle are good. I mean, that you have to stick to your game, not looking for offense because of what happens otherwise.
Yeah, everybody was excited, but they knew that that was later in the future, but the team was the team on the weekend.
Tyler Toffoli, Colin Miller making their debuts, the Winnipeg Jets. Here's Kyle Connor on his new teammates and their performance on Monday night.
Yeah, they were great. Obviously two veteran players. I think Toffoli, you can see his game. He had a couple chances tonight. He seems to find that soft area. You know, he's hard. He's hard on pucks. Very responsible out there. Even Millsy, you can see he got the pucks through, playing hard, tough to play against. I mean, these guys are going to help out for us, and, you know, we need everybody.
Both of them played very, very well. They're a good fit. I like the look of that Sean's line. There's good chemistry there already with Alex and he. So No, that line looked really good, and the both new guys, give them credit, because they haven't skated in a few days, right, since the trade. So give them both credit for coming out and giving us a really good effort.
I'm Lauren Brossois.
Hailing centering pass. What a stop by Brossois.
And this is a Ground Control podcast.
All right, we've heard from us. We've heard from the players. Now time to listen to you and your comments on Twitter. We asked what you thought of the Jets' trade deadline acquisitions. Bells said Chevy had a masterclass. No frills Dino. This deadline secures Chevy's nomination for GM of the year, if not the win. Brad Lambert fan club. I love how we didn't give up any prospects for rental players. I know who he's talking about, obviously.
Yeah, of course the Brad Lambert fan club is happy.
Yeah, Anna said the big moves that were made really seemed like Chevy went out and got the right pieces for the Jets puzzle. And Steminist, Chevy for the win. He's so good at quietly finding treasure, as he is.
I would agree with that. It seems like every time a situation like this comes around, you know, he does his thinking. He's very methodical with stuff. And, you know, you look at the draft lot that the Winnipeg Jets have ahead of them. Yeah, they don't have a first-round pick, but they have Montreal's second.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty high up.
You'd have to think. So maybe probably giving away that – not giving away, but trading that first-round pick for Sean Monahan.
There's a lot of thought process goes into that. And, of course, we will talk with Kevin Cheveldayoff a little bit later about just that, the process that goes into giving up a first-round pick. Play of the week is up next on the lotter here. I mean, it's really – you think about so many things that happened over the weekend and leading up to this game. And you know what? We're going to surprise you. I'm not going to lead into it. But here is the play of the week.
Around for Borgen. They let it go to McCann. And somehow Morrissey kept that in. Down for Scheifele. Scores! Josh Morrissey starting the play, holding it at the line. Scheifele is the game's first goal. It's 1-0 Jets.
You've been here pretty much the same amount of time as I have.
Yep.
We have worked with very closely with Kevin Cheveldayoff around here on the road. We've been on planes with him. We've been in visiting opposing rinks. He's treated me with a lot of respect. I'm sure you feel the exact same way, but I think
absolutely
having him on this podcast is special because you just get the best part about this is I've had time to listen to all the questions people have had to ask him from the trade deadline. You have time to think about what you want to ask him. June 8th, 2011.
There better be no repeat questions. We haven't taped it, by the way.
That's right. Yes, I have the transcription of the press conference that he had after the trade deadline. But he's a wonderful guy, has done a wonderful job this past, you know, 12 plus years for this hockey team in a very unique market. So here's Kevin Cheveldayoff. Pleased to be joined by General Manager Kevin Cheveldayoff. On a day like Friday when a lot of good things happen, do you allow yourself to celebrate just a little? And I realize there's a big task in front of you, but do you celebrate just a little?
Well, you know, again, your group's all around you, so, you know, you're pretty intense. You know, you're kind of running against the clock as well, you know, trying to do something that, you know, is up against the clock. But, you know, once it's all kind of said and done and, you know, you go through the recap, obviously, you know, the group has put in a lot of hard work. The pro scouts, you know, have done their job now and you know, you do – you know, feel good. But in the same breath, you know, like there's, you know, still, you know, recapping a lot of different things in your mind as to, you know, how the process has went, but, you're looking forward to the next game really is what it is. You're getting, or looking forward to a chance to get to watch, you know, the players that, you know, you acquire on a day like that play. So, you know, yesterday was really, you know, the day that, the first game when you get a chance to see them that you're kind of anxious to see how it all unfolds.
Take us through this a little bit and help us understand a little bit. When division rivals or conference rivals are doing something, Colorado makes a big splash, Dallas makes a big splash. Why does that not affect what you guys do in some ways?
Well, you know, again, we started our process when we identified that we wanted a centerman, and we were able to, you know, get Sean Monahan when we did. And it wasn't necessarily – okay, well, what's Dallas going to do, or what's Colorado going to do, or what's Vegas going to do, or whatever. It's you know, watching your team and trying to assess the needs, but even more importantly, trying to, you know, understand, is there really a player that you want or you covet that might, you know, help you kind of push forward or you know, address your needs. And sometimes there's not. And, you know, like, you know, there's, you know, so it's all about opportunity, really, when it comes to the trade deadline, opportunity to get the right fit. So it's not, well, they made a move, we better make a move, because sometimes those can backfire if that fit's not right.
Because it's a dangerous game to play, right?
You've got a lot of chemistry things on your team, mm-hmm. too. You know, it's you know, and again, making the move doesn't guarantee anything. You know, when Washington, you know, ultimately won the cup, you know, their year, they made a couple of depth moves, and those depth moves ended up paying off down the line when those players came in. But they really didn't touch their core. They didn't touch or add to, you know, the main part of it. So, you know, it's just you have to be honest with yourself and believe in you know, their group's assessment, believe in your coach's assessment, you know, even your players. You have some conversations with them and talk through some different scenarios, because you know, ultimately the game's played on the ice. It's not, you know, played on paper.
I've heard Rick say fit. You say fit quite often. How do you know someone's going to be a good fit in your room and in your dressing room and on the ice?
Well, you're assessing lots of things. You try to find as much as you can about the person's character and their which is, you know, again, there's scouting with your eyes, but there's also scouting with your ears as well. And I think that's what the pro scouts are challenged to do all the time. They have a network of people that they deal with. You know, it's not only about what you see, it's about, you know, what you know about the player as well. And then again, it's just, you know, when you do watch him play, you watch and see, you know, the different aspects of the game. And, you know, with a player like, Tyler Toffoli, like, what really comes, you know, what you're really, the benefit of what you're getting as well as a winner. You're getting someone that, has played in the game's biggest moments, has, you know, done good things in the game's biggest moments, knows how to play, you know, when, you know, the chips are down, so to speak, because, ultimately, you know, for us to be successful, we're going to have to play a certain way. And any team that wins a championship, that is truly the case. And having players with experience like that, or being able to acquire a player with experience like that, is invaluable.
And how invaluable is 128 games of playoff experiences, which is what you brought in with Tyler Toffoli and Colin Miller?
Well, again, I think, you know, again, Tyler's experienced the highs of winning, and you know, Colin, you know, has had the opportunity to go to the finals and just know how hard it is to get there and what it takes to the next, you know, get to the next step. And I think, you know, anytime, you know, you have those kind of experiences, good or bad, you know, you grow from them as a player and you learn it's about imparting that wisdom, and it's about having that insatiable desire to want to win.
How important was it to not take somebody from your current roster and any of your prospects?
Well, you know, again, it's you know, it ebbs and flows, I guess, mm-hmm. what the costs of acquiring something are. Fortunately for us, we were able to, get a little creative, I guess, in the spreading out of the draft picks and not necessarily trying to, gut any one particular year. Certainly our Montreal second round pick was, it was coveted. That, kind of becomes nerve-wracking at times, because obviously that's the first ask of every team when you're talking about a second-round pick. They want to go to the highest, the highest mark. So, that's where you get nervous about, when you're in a Toffoli deal offering a third and a second, that you can ultimately get it done without touching that. So those are the, I guess, tough gut calls you have to make, and fortunately for us, it worked.
Murat Atesh brought up a great point about the decision of Brian Little that allowed you guys to make the moves earlier and up until this point. His photo's up in the dressing room. His photo's up in the press box. He's a quiet guy, but a big presence. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, so he's obviously someone that's pretty special to the organization, still. And it's unfortunate how things, worked out for him. But, he's always in a lot of players' minds. And, he's a good friend, I think, still to this day to a lot of players. There's lots of communication there. I'm happy that, I guess our alumni is starting to, really take shape, because I think when we start getting, a lot of players like Brian or Matty Perreault or Buff or all those guys, and, you know, when we can start getting them back, I think that'll speak volumes to, you know, to the players that are playing here, that, you know, you're never forgotten as a Jet. It's you're always part of the family here, and you know, that we can make, you know, Winnipeg a special place to play for the players that are here now, but and remember the players that paved the way.
I think of Buff and Blake Wheeler's 1,000 game video, the eruption of the crowd. Yeah. Could you, like, you must have got chills out of that too, right?
Oh, sure. Yeah. You know, like, it's obviously Buff, you know, he's a unique player, but, you know, I'm sure he's getting his thrills catching those largemouth bass now, or smallmouth bass, whatever they are.
June 8th, 2011, your first day hired by the Winnipeg Jets. What do you remember about that day?
Well, I remember, you know, coming across the border and, you know, was there with my family, and at that point in time, you know, we walk up to the border guard and the border crossing there. We're coming off the plane, and, you know, you're ready for the standard questions about, you know, you hand your passport, stuff like that. And they basically asked me, he says, "We have two questions." I said, "Okay. What's the name of the team, and when are we going to win the Stanley Cup?" I said, "I don't know, and I'm going to start working on it." So, you know, you could tell right then and there that, you know, there was a lot of, you know, passion, a lot of excitement, you know, within the community when the team came back.
Man, it's 12 and a half years now. How special has it been that you've been with Zinger, you've been with Larry, you've been the majority of the scouting staff has been here? That's unique.
Yeah.
And
so
how special is that?
It's really special. And, you know, I guess my relationships either with Zinger and Larry go farther, you know, back than just that relation, you know, that time there now. Like, mm-hmm. Zinger, I've known Zinger since I was 15 years old in the Brandon Wheking organization, when, you know, he was the, you know, equipment manager and trainer, and I was, you know, still trying to be an up-and-coming player. And then, you know, Larry and I have worked together for many, many years, when he's, you know, he's been the assistant GM of the Atlanta Thrashers, you know, essentially since their inception. And, you know, his experience, you know, is just, you know, has been invaluable. And you know, both of their friendships are something that you lean on as well. And, you know, Mark Hillier's been a part of the organization. You know, Pete Ratchek was one of our, you know, early hires there. And you know, now both those guys are running our pro and our amateur staffs. You know, again, it's, we're a small group. If you actually probably look at, you know, look at the media guides of different teams and stuff like that, we're probably one of the smaller staffs from a number standpoint within the league. And you know, for me, I think that lends to a lot of efficiency. I think it lends to a lot of autonomy, mm-hmm. you know, and that's kind of, I think, been, you know, the hallmark of how we've operated on the hockey operations side, is that, you know, I feel that this is, you know, everyone's organization. It's never just mine, and it's never just my decision. And, you know, fortunately, I get all the accolades, mm-hmm. But really the people, you know, that make those ultimate hard decisions, or recommend that we make those ultimate hard decisions, are the people that do the work for us each and every day on the hockey ops side.
So how nice is it? I know it's business, but how nice is it when the scouting staff comes before the trade deadline, and then on top of that, when everybody gets together for the draft?
Yeah, so we really missed that. I think during COVID, you know, like, there was a lot of things that, you know, again, happened, you know, during that time, but as we really saw, like, you know, we operate well when we can connect, and I think it's just human nature when you get a chance to, you know, be together and try to, you know, do those things, like, you know, there's just that efficiency, and that there wouldn't, you know, we really missed that opportunity during COVID to, you know, to meet as a group. The camaraderie, because it's not always highs. There's lows too, you know, like, when you're not successful, everyone feels it, and everyone shares in that. And you know, again, we're in this together, you know, right from the beginning. Every single decision that we've ever tried to make has been about winning. And when you don't, you know, you ask yourself the hard questions, and you know, so when you're in that group setting, when you're with that group, you know, there is that strength, you know, that everyone kind of gains from each other as well. And you know, so that's what makes it a great team effort. And there's a team on the ice, but you know, there's a really strong team off the ice as well.
I'm going to take you back to the draft in 2011 again, when you drafted Adam Lowry in the third round. Did you have any idea that this guy was going to be your future captain at some point? And I know it's hard to look down the road that way, but did you have a feeling?
Yeah, you know, at that point, I think, you know, that we knew we were drafting a real character player. You know, like, Adams, path to the NHL was not a straight linear one. Mm-hmm. You know, he had a lot of work to do, and we knew that he was going to be a player that was going to, you know, put the work in. So, you know, you could really start to see his leadership qualities there when Swift and when he was playing, but then when we got him, you know, into the, you know, the development side, you know, in St. John's, and, you know, you could really begin to see, you know, this guy is a true leader. But, you know, at the end of the day, there's a lot of work that gets put into it, and you know, we're really proud that you know, the job or the work that a player like, you know, Mark Scheifele and Adam Lowry are two, you know, first picks in yeah. that draft that have really, you know, helped lay just such an unbelievable foundation for the franchise.
And you think about all the homegrown talent that you still have on this roster, it must feel pretty good.
You know, again, it's, you know, it's come over a period of time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, again, the testament to the, you know, the hard work of the scouts, hard work of the development staff, hard work of, and a lot of them have come through the Moose as well, or St. John's and the Moose. You know, and again, it's about, you know, trusting the process, believing in the process, and you know, it is nice when, you know, you see a player like, you know, Connor Hellebuyck, mm-hmm. you know, just, you know, do the things that he's done, and it's even more gratifying when, you know, they double down again and want to be a part of, you know, trying to bring a winner to Winnipeg.
Last one for you. How special was last night? The fans were chanting again. I know that was a big part of when you guys first got here, the chants were going and stuff like that. Do you kind of feel the energy building up here as we get closer to the playoffs?
Well, you know, again, ultimately, that's what you're here for, is mm-hmm. to entertain and to, you know, make people feel proud. And you know, so that's something that, again, keeps you awake at night, you know, for sure, that you want to do the best that you can. You know, I've been given just a tremendous opportunity here by, you know, True North and the Winnipeg Jets and the city of Winnipeg and just the fans to, you know, to, you know, be a part of this, be a part of the community. And, you know, ultimately, I just want to make them proud.
Thanks so much for your time and good luck the rest of the way.
Thanks very much.
Two more games in this homestand as we record this.
Yep.
Nashville's coming here on Wednesday, the day
That's
of this podcast.
That's a biggie.
Like, Nashville is fascinating to me because you're looking at them, they're not going to make the playoffs. Now, all of a sudden,
they're doing it to themselves again.
Yeah. Like, they just, that conversation about UC Saros could be on the move, I'm like, there's no way they move him. Because you could never get the value that what UC Saros provides.
Totally.
And, well, there's a great example of that here. If you ever traded Connor Hellebuyck, it would be impossible to replace him. You better have a real good plan. And I felt the same way about with that UC Saros conversation too. So Nashville, always a handful. And then Anaheim comes here on Friday. And then it's the trip of all trips.
To the big city, New York.
New York.
And Columbus.
The longest road trip of the year, I believe, 5 games. So it's,
yeah, it's a long one. It's
and spread
team
out.
Team leaves Saturday afternoon and then returns the following Sunday evening.
Yeah, that's a long trip.
That's a long one.
Yeah. Did a lot of walking around New York, but we're not getting into that. We don't have time for that. There's other things to go. But I appreciate you, as always, coming on the pod.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Next week, I imagine we do this pod. We're going to be doing it on the Zoomis.
Yeah, probably on Zoom.
Yeah.
But I'm curious where I should record it.
Yeah, we're going to have to think about that.
Like, is it from the hotel? Is it from a popular landmark?
Oh, yeah.
Where's the bench that the pigeon lady hangs out from Home Alone?
That's where you have to. Central Park, you have to do it from there.
Okay.
Yeah. Figure it out.
We'll sort something. What if I did it from like the top of the Empire State Building or something? I don't like heights.
I don't like them either. Just don't. If you have your back to everything.
All right. We'll figure it out.
Yeah. There's a lot of time to come with that. But appreciate you for coming on the podcast. Many thanks to Kevin Cheveldayoff for joining us. Many thanks for Daniel Moss for all the work he's going to do to put this together after we record it. And as he always does, he's got a straight face right now. I know things are going for him. They're rolling. He's thinking, what else do I have to do here to make these people happy? Thanks for watching Ground Control. Thanks for listening to Ground Control. We'll see you next week.